All right, hour number three, welcome back. Get to talk to Preston Dennett once a month, and it's the first time in 2025 for us tonight. Hello, Preston, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome back. It's always good to hear you.
Yeah, same here. Thank you.
You bet. We've been doing this for quite a while. And it keeps getting to be more interesting all the time. Unfortunately, the so-called mainstream media and the government are not being helpful. We're doing our own research. People like you are leading the way. You're one of the best in the world at this. And I'm just not at all happy with the way the Pentagram, my word, is handling this. The military, they're still playing games. They're not going to tell us what they know. There's another video out. It's probably a hoax. It purports to show a dying E.T., who is speaking as he's dying, and he's being harassed by two, I guess, American intelligence officers, asking him, well, what do you mean, and this and that, and hassling him. That was just released. Well, it's been out before. I saw it long ago, but it's been run again. Did you see that one?
That's just the one I think of, the alien interview. I think
well,
it was labeled
he's laying on,
years
he's,
ago.
The E.T. is laying down, and he's allegedly dying. And they're pushing him to tell the truth. Tell us what's going to happen. What do you mean by this and that? Let me see. Hold on. Let me see. It's very short. Let me see if I can find it. And I'll play it, actually, because it is interesting. And these things, and they can fake anything now. Just keep that in mind. We're beyond the age when your senses can tell you the truth, because your senses can be fooled and often are.
People are leaking true stuff, so
that's coming out. And you know what that's doing? It's actually mixing with the fake, contrived, bogus material and confusing people all the more, if you think about it.
That's a very classic disinformation technique.
It's textbook.
Take some truth and sandwich it with lies, or take some lies and stick a little truth in there.
You got it. You got it exactly. Let me see. Where the heck is this? I know I've got it somewhere.
It's I think the alien autopsy is a really good example of that, because here we have something that clearly happened, but that whole alien autopsy has been pretty thoroughly debunked.
What are your thoughts on that right now? Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, on the autopsy?
Yeah, I think probably this is a hoax, but it bothers me because the events that it portrays are 100% true. It's accurate in its content, but what it actually, I mean, your very classic disinformation technique. Tell something true, but make it look fake.
Oh,
so
exactly
people just
right.
won't even look at it. So
No. That's what they do. What the heck is this? I'm going to find this. I had it done, and it's a very good little interview, supposedly, with a dying E.T. And I would suggest, though, that the lighting is a little too good. It's black and white. It's apparently 16-millimeter film. That's what they want us to think. You can hear the film clattering through the gate as it's being actually recorded. Am I going to find this in time or not here? Yesterday. Let's see if I can find it. Not there. How was your Christmas, by the way, and New Year's? Okay? Anything special happen?
Yeah. Oh, pretty low-key. You know, it's not like I was when I was a little boy. Where you're counting down
no,
the days and the hours.
not for any of us. No.
But yeah, I still enjoy it. Everyone's just a little bit nicer, unless you're at the department store or whatever.
People are. Today was the big return product day at various shipping centers like UPS stores. There were 30 some people at ours. They were lined up almost out the door. Packages going back to Amazon. That's what it was all about today.
Yep.
All right. One more try here. I got to find this now here. E.T.
There's all kinds of stuff on the internet these days, and it's frustrating because every now and then you look at some video that, gosh, it looks real good. I mean, it looks like this is a legit case.
I agree.
But you can't trust it because there's so much CGI. And some of it's really well done. There's little tricks you can see, like, this person has six fingers on their hand. This is probably CGI.
I agree. But I'm not going to find it right now. I wonder if it didn't even get posted. It might have. It might not have. Well, I'll keep looking. Okay, so what we're going to do tonight is ask Preston if he might share with us his encounter, his personal encounter with an E.T., or an E.T. presence. How do you like to label it, Preston?
E.T., I think that's probably the best way.
Straight away.
The term alien is a little bit, you know, off-putting for some people, and I think it's divisive, and kind of, because they're just like us for the most part. I mean, they're humanoids. We're all humanoids. But yeah, I actually did have my own personal, fully conscious onboard experience, something I've really hoped would happen for quite a long time.
I can't believe this, and you know what? You deserve it. If I know of anyone, you and maybe a couple others really deserve to have an encounter like that, and you did. To what do you owe this? How do you ascribe this event in your life? Did they pick you out and want to show themselves to you? Were they aware of your work and your dedication to the field? Was there any of that involved?
I think that's absolutely a factor. They didn't say that particularly, but this is in my family. You know, my little sister has had a couple of really close-up sightings, one involving missing time. My brother had a very close-up sighting and ended up with a sort of implant in his arm. I took him to a doctor. I think I may have told you this, but a doctor who was a MUFON field investigator whose eyes bugged out of his head when he saw this thing, because you could palpate it on my brother's, the inside of his elbow, on his left arm.
Oh, my. All right.
Yeah, it was about the size of a half match stick, maybe, a sort of little rod, but definitely no entry wound. He says, this is definitely a foreign body. I'd really love to get an X-ray. I'll pay for it. And my brother's like, no, I think I'm good. He's pretty much, you know, shy about it, I guess, is the best way of putting it.
Sure.
Doesn't really want any attention, which I have to respect, because,
how
you know, this field.
How close to your experience was his? Was this recent
his was a long time ago? No, his was a long time ago, in the 1970s, 78, thereabouts.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very close-up sighting, and I didn't really even think to ask if there was missing time, because there was no real indication of it. But I've come to learn, if you see a UFO within 100 feet or so, and he did, that there's a very high, much higher chance that there are what I would call deeper levels of contact. It might be just telepathic, but often missing time can happen seamlessly. And certainly, you know, I've had a... You know, I found out this was all real, came in as a skeptic, started having sightings and circling closer and closer to UFOs, and started having, you know, we talked about this in a few months back.
Yes, yes.
Where I had telepathic contact with a few real close-up sightings, some CE5 incidents. There's no doubt in my mind they're aware of me. There's no doubt in my mind they're tracking my family, like... They do a lot of families, a lot of people. I mean, I think to some extent.
We could call it genetics or bloodline, like racehorses. It's the same kind of thing. They'll follow a family genetically, it seems, for generations. There's a long-term issue here. It's not short. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think they're watching over everybody. It's not just, you know, people aren't special or picked out.
If we have AI that can monitor and watch everybody on the planet, and we do, they're way ahead of that. So whatever they want, they've got. Their technology is almost unimaginably advanced. Depends on the species, I think, visiting. But they are, as Preston said, they're humanoids. They're people, unless they're robots. or droids that are manufactured to serve them, and there's that issue too. All right, here's this 2 minute and 48 second. If you look on the right-hand side of the homepage, look for the UFO section. It's the top story there, okay? It says, video smuggled from Area 51 of alien on deathbed warning humanity of super AI event and threat. Now, I'm going to play this, and the ET will answer in a in a very deep voice. I'll probably stop it and repeat what the ET said, but if you listen carefully, he is saying that, or the voice purporting to come from the ET is saying these words. All right, here we go. And what really bothered people, and it shows in the comments, is that the, we'll call them Americans at Area 51, who are interviewing or harassing this ET, are very nasty about it. At least one of the two guys is. So it's kind of unnerved people to hear this. All right, here we go. Okay. All right. Screen, text, alien on deathbed warning humanity of biggest threat to humanity is from super AI. All right, now we go to the deathbed. And he asks the ET, what is this other threat? And the ET says, artificial super intelligence. So he asked the ET, what the hell does that mean? Artificial intelligence that is superior to human intelligence. This is old. This is probably 35 to 40 years, 45 years old. The American guy said, that's impossible. 35 years ago, maybe that's how they felt. That's impossible. And the ET says, inevitable. Let me back it up just a little. Is it a computer? This artificial superintelligence, is it a computer? Let me back this up. Hold on. He says, you do not have the capacity to comprehend. All right, something very close to that. That's getting a little ridiculous, but the alleged verbatim interview says, the ET, you don't have the capacity to comprehend. And the Caucasian, or the Caucasoid, says to the ET, if you say that again, I'm going to shoot a 9mm round through your alien head or something like that. All right, you'll hear it.
One more time, I'll drill a 9mm through that mutant skull of yours. Again, is it a computer?
Again, is it a computer? And the ET says, thousands connected. Thousands connected computers. And the interviewer says, you're saying they are as smart as people. And ET says, no. And the interviewer says, you just said, And the ET says they're smarter by many orders of magnitude. This is 35 years ago, long before AI. And the ET says, therefore, super intelligence. And it's his eye, if it's a he, his eyes are almost closed. He's dying. At least that's the scenario we're being fed here. It looks very real. How is this superintelligence a threat? It will end your species. As it almost ended mine, says the ET. He was asked, how? And the ET said, two ways, in parallel. And then the interviewer says, what's the first way?
What's the first way?
By weaponizing propaganda. I think you could make that out. Let me back that up just a drop. Hear it again. Okay, and that's the end of it. Again, you can find this. Look on the right-hand side of the homepage under the UFO section. Under features, you'll see it. It's the top story there. It's only 2 minutes and 48 seconds. Is it real? I don't know. It looks real. The questions seem to be written as if they were actually being offered or demanded 35, 40 years ago, back in the day when there was no AI. And if you've ever looked at the movie Forbidden Planet, that's the ultimate AI turning on its creators film. That'll tell you where we might be going. So he said his species was almost wiped out by superintelligence from many computers all lined up in parallel, which is what basically AI is, according to some descriptions. It's a very interesting little interview. What is it? Propaganda? Is it real? Was it really smuggled out? I don't know. Have you seen this, Preston?
No, I don't think I have, actually.
I'll
but
send
now
it.
You got me curious.
I'll send it over to you. Yeah, I'll send it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because AI is, I think, a problem.
You got it. You got it. Yeah. Here, let's keep it simple. ChatGPT-4 has about an IQ of Einstein. 153, that's what they say. So it's pretty damn smart. ChatGPT-5 will have an IQ of 1,500, 10 times more. How can a computer programmer with 120 IQ compete with 1,500 IQ in an AI format? I don't think it can.
Yeah, I remember years ago they put one of these guys up on Jeopardy. The Ken Jennings, the Jeopardy champion of all times, was beaten by AI. It took him a while, but he held his ground for a little bit, but ultimately AI did beat him.
No, that's why ChatGPT-5 has not been released, in my opinion, because it's too much for people. They wouldn't be able to assimilate it, handle it, use it, so they keep extending GPT-4 with some add-ons and new features. I just don't think people with an average IQ of 100 are going to be able to use this stuff very well. It's too much. Anyhow, but back to your story, if you would, and let's go ahead and tell it. I'd like to very much hear it.
Yeah, well, I just, like I said, want to preface it with this. There was a whole lot of lead up to all of this, you know, having written a bunch of books, interviewed hundreds of people, been with them when they've seen UFOs. You know, it's in my family. I mean, this wasn't something that just came out of the blue for me. I did have a missing time incident as a much younger guy, but this was in now 2021, 22. I wrote it down. It's around there. But on my birthday, which I think is significant, because I'm guessing that there's something to that. At any rate, I was asleep in bed. This is when I was living in California. I'm not there now, but in the town of Reseda, which, if you know Reseda, it's pretty densely populated.
I know Reseda, yes.
And really just down, not, three or four blocks away from a lady I know who is a contactee, who did have Grays come into her room, who I did work with. So that's kind of interesting. Not too far from where I've had some other encounters.
Gotcha.
I did go into the backyard a couple of times and saw stuff. So at any rate, I'm just sleeping in bed and dreaming and everything's fine when suddenly I am fully on awake because something is pulling on me. And I don't know how to describe this because people say, you were asleep, it's a dream. No. You know, when you're awake, you know you're awake. There's just no doubt about it. And that's the state of mind I was in. And something was, like the wall next to me was kind of opening up a little bit. And I was going through it. And I'm like, okay. And what was really interesting to me is I recognized this feeling. This is something I've experienced before. And that was the first time when I say I recognized it, it was kind of like hindsight, I guess, is a way of putting it, because I don't remember this happening to me until it happened to me again. So okay. I'm being pulled up this energy beam, I guess, is a way of putting it.
Okay, well, one quick question. It's important to note that most people who are abducted don't remember. They're blocked. It's screened out. But Preston was allowed, probably because of his accomplishments and his extraordinary work in the field, to remember consciously most of what happened to him. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason why I did have missing time previously and did not remember is because it would have interfered with what I was doing, which was really trying to get the word out about all these things. And I think definitely I would have shifted away from that and focused more on my own experiences and not been able to do the work as effectively if that had happened. So at any rate, I'm finding myself hurtling through space. No doubt. I mean, there's dark space around me. Stars. I didn't really have the wherewithal to turn around and look and see my house or anything like that.
You're hurtling through space, just you. You're outside. You're in a beam of light. Is that it, so to speak?
It was very energetic. It was an enormous amount of energy pulsing through my body.
Okay.
Which is hard to really describe to people, but I could absolutely feel it, and I recognize that feeling. And I knew what was happening. I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm being taken. I remember this. So it was kind of like, God, I don't even know how to describe it. You just suddenly remember something that had happened to you previously that you had not remembered. And it was taking a long time. This was not 5 seconds. This was not 10 seconds. This was not even 20 seconds. It was closer to almost a full minute. And I'm like, wow, because now I'm, way out there and what feels like deep space. I mean, this took a long time.
But you're not in a craft. You're not in a craft, or are you in a craft at this point?
Not yet. No.
It's just Preston against the universe.
Yeah. But, I knew what was happening, and,
okay.
And the next thing I knew, I was in a craft. And I found myself in the center of this round room. And it's so interesting because, I talk to so many people and you kind of get this conception of what it would be like. And then it happens here and you're like, well, this is a little different. There was no fear. Not even for a moment did I feel any fear whatsoever. Maybe that's just because, having a lot of knowledge about this, knowledge kind of erases fear because it's fear of the unknown, I think that really is a big deal for a lot of people.
Right.
And I didn't have that. I kind of knew what to expect. And I was laying on a table, very much like people describe, in the center of this round room, a rounded ceiling. I would say it's about as big as a house, 40 feet across, maybe 50. And there, it's bright, and lights are shining down on me. It's brightest where I am, and I can see short figures around me, but my attention is really drawn towards one person who's looking down at me, who's not human, not entirely. She looks half human, half gray. Very tall, probably 6 feet tall, very slender. Don't think there are people that skinny walking around here on Earth. That's how thin she was, and wearing a white jumpsuit, a spotless, seamless white jumpsuit.
How
skin
tall?
Skin tight.
How
tall? 6 feet. Hard to say for sure, but...
You knew it was a woman. Curvy, curvy hips, curvy bust, curvy curves. That kind of human look,
but
or
not
thin?
Not buxom.
Thin.
You know, just a very definitely feminine, because her face was absolutely a girl.
Okay.
And she had eyes that were twice
the size of
normal.
Was it a human-looking face? Or was it more of an E.T.-looking face?
It was more human, but, I mean, could she pass on Earth? I don't think so.
Okay,
but
big
eyes.
Twice the size. Okay.
Right,
hair?
A little bit wraparound. Hair, yep.
Hair?
Yep.
Really? Blonde, brunette, redhead?
Blonde, very white blonde.
Tall blonde.
Tight curls. Yep.
Okay.
Very pretty, you know, very delicate features. Very, very small nose, very small lips, very small mouth.
Right.
And a jumpsuit that, you know, full sleeves, all the way up with the collar going around the neck. And yeah, definitely a feminine figure, but not like very, you know, not large sized, if you know what I mean. She was a slender lady. And she's asking me, you know, mentally, are you all right?
And you're laying down at this point? Excuse the interruption. You're laying on the table?
I'm laying on the table on my back.
Okay.
And I'm all right, and I'm ready to jump up. And I tried to sit up, and they're like, no. We need to make sure you're all right. And I said, I'm all right, for the second time. And they said, are you sure? I said, yes, I'm absolutely sure. And I tried to get up again, and I said, wait a second. We really just need to make sure. And I said, listen, I am all right. Because I remember doing this, you know. I was fine. You know, it was a very electric, disorienting feeling, and then suddenly finding yourself there. I could see why other people would be a little shook up, but for whatever reason, I wasn't. And I was very eager to look around, because I couldn't. At this point, it's kind of like when you're at the doctor's office and someone's shining a light in your eye, and they're looking at you, and you can't really see the room. And I wanted to see the room. So finally, you know, because they were holding me down with their hands. Like, listen, I really want to get up. So that took a good 10 seconds of me trying to convince them, maybe 20 seconds. And I stood up. You know, I swung my legs off the table, and I stood up. And I'm like, wow, well, the gravity is slightly less here. You can definitely tell that. Very smooth floor, gray walls. And I immediately saw a 7.5 foot tall figure about 4 or 5 feet away from me, 6 feet. And this is a tall gray. And this was...
That's awfully close, 6 feet away, 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, very tall. And it was clearly a woman wearing a kind of a white smock, it looked like. I really wasn't paying too much attention, but definitely wasn't a, you know, jumpsuit like the
but
other
it was
lady
a
was
different
wearing.
A different kind of woman. Did this one have hair?
No, this was a full-on gray. This one
had
an enormous head, that kind of like a strawberry shape, but, you know, oval.
Oh, sounds like This Island Earth, one of those big heads.
Huge head and a very thin body, long arms, but just the epitome of grace and elegance. I don't even know how to describe that, but the way she just tilts her head and held her body, she wasn't really moving that much, so I don't know why I got that impression, but this was a person of great dignity and intelligence and beauty. I mean, it was radiating off of her. And I rushed up to her, tiny little mouth, kind of with a closed smile, sort of half smile, just a nubbins of a nose, didn't see any ears. But I walked right up to her and looked up, and I'm right next to her. I mean, without, you know, not so close it's awkward, but a foot or 2 feet away or so.
Yeah.
And looked up at her, and she's looking down at me, and she has to bend her head to look down at me. That's how tall she is, and I'm, of course, bending my head upwards. And she asked me a question. She said, "So, is this how you thought it would be? Is this what you thought it would be like?" And I said, no, it's much better. Because there was just a feeling of goodwill and joy that was pulsing through me. I'm like, I'm here. This is awesome. I've waited for this. This is the coolest thing ever. And
telepathically, or were there any spoken audio that you heard?
Nope. It was telepathic. Okay. It was very quiet. And I'm looking around at that point because I want to see what's around me. And, yeah, I'm in this fairly large room with panel windows at a sort of 50-degree angle, not quite 45, but leaning towards me a little bit higher up at 50, 60 degrees, all the way around, much like, you know, when you look outside of a tall building, they've got windows surround it. I'm not sure I can even think of, like a cruise ship, kind of.
Okay.
With a little railing going all the way around, and I saw a bunch of people standing in the center of the room, but really I wanted to go look out the window. So I didn't fly or float, but you kind of glide a little bit. I mean, you walk. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing, I wasn't levitating, but it's very easy to walk, and the floor is very smooth. And everything's absolutely clean. And I go over to the other side, and I look out the window. I'm like, well, there's the Earth. Look at that. And it filled a good portion of the downward view. So I don't even have a conception of how high we would be. But it was miles and miles and miles.
If you held at the end, you held your arm out straight, what would you hold in your hand that would be about the size of the Earth as you were seeing it? A softball, a baseball, a basketball? What are we talking about?
It would be a giant beach ball. I mean, it was huge.
Oh, big.
It was,
oh, so you weren't that far away. All right.
No, you couldn't see the whole Earth. You could just see a portion of it.
Oh, okay. Generally, so, the inside of the craft, the ship, what colors are we seeing? Whites,
gray.
Silvers, whites, gray. Gray everywhere.
Silver.
Polished gray or flat gray?
Polished. Well, semi-polished, semi-glossy.
Okay, got it.
And again, I really wasn't, there wasn't a whole lot of walls. It was mostly windows. The floor was gray.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wasn't looking up at the ceiling. Everything was well lit, no light source, just naturally, I don't know how lit, you know, they have a way of doing it. It's so interesting because I've read this and talked to so many people. And here, this is happening. So I turn around, and now I'm getting a full view because there's nothing behind me. It's just, and there's two rows of people standing in the middle. So I walk up
humans?
To them. I want to talk to them.
Humans? Okay.
Yep.
Abductees or visitors on the ship, so to speak?
Yep.
What?
People taken on board.
Okay.
Normal-looking people. A bit younger than me. These were people probably in their 20s. That was my impression. And I saw a black guy. I saw, you know, people of all different ancestries. And there was a woman who is kind of at the end of, there's two rows of about six or seven people each. And I'm looking at her, right into her face. And I walk right up to her. I'm like, hi, my name's Preston. What's your name? And she was out of it. She was in a trance. She did not even see me. So I'm like, oh, okay, this person can't talk to me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to disturb them or try to wake them up.
Perhaps put in a trance by her hosts because it was too much for her?
Perhaps. I didn't ask. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of my impression, yeah, that she was in a trance because couldn't handle where they were at.
They sedated her. All right.
Right. And I looked at the others, and I'm like, well, they're all in a trance. Huh. And so I swung my head around, and there at the far end of the room were two shorter grays. And that's when my heart did leap up a little bit into my throat. Because I'm like, wow, okay, now those look different. These guys look like they meant business. And it wasn't scary, but I'm like, kind of looking at them.
3-footers or 5-footers?
These were shorter, yeah. These were probably closer to 5 feet, yeah.
All right.
They may have been, they were kind of far away from me. Mm-hmm. But they were uniformed, and I had the impression that these guys were kind of guards or, on mm-hmm. duty to make sure everything's going.
Chaperoning the group. How all the humans were basically, as far as you could tell, in a trance-like state of sedation. Is that fair?
The ones in the center of the room, because I turned my head and I saw this, lady who was Asian, and I'm thinking mm-hmm. Korean. She reminded me of a girl I work with who is Korean. And she was smiling, and she's looking out the window, and she's kind of jumping up and down a little bit.
Ah.
And I'm like, okay, this one looks like a prospect. This is someone I can talk to. Because I wanted information. And, I don't know why I didn't ask the taller gray or the other lady. Because this is all happening, and you're kind of just trying to wrap your head around it, right? Because I'm thinking, this is real, this is real, this is real, this is real. I can't believe it. And I wanted to stay. I thought I was being taken. I'm like, I'm ready to go with them. It was kind of what was going through my head.
I'm sure they were picking that up, too. I'm sure. They're reading. They were monitoring everyone there.
Yeah.
I would bet.
So
okay.
I walked very quickly across the room to meet this
the Asian
Korean
lady.
Girl. Yeah.
All right.
And I stand right next to her. I'm about to get her attention, but instead I'm looking out the window because I can see the earth again, and it's a beautiful, beautiful sight. I mean, it's stunningly beautiful, just like you see.
The blue planet. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the ship drops down in a split second. It took about 1 second to be right on the ground, about 10 feet above the ground. And she screamed. She's like, woo! The classic woo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this little railing, just big enough for you to grab it with your hands, and I hold on to it, even though I really don't feel any acceleration whatsoever. But it's a little disorienting because you're seeing this thing coming at you.
Visually,
I
can imagine. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was amazing.
You know what this sounds like, Preston, briefly? It sounds like a ship used commonly to take people on board, whether they're conscious in their awareness of their surroundings or not, and exposing them to things and then maybe putting them back. It sounds like it had a railing in there for humans, not for ETs. They don't need railings. I'm just guessing, but that's what it sounds like. Okay.
And I've had a few people describe to me, there was a railing around the circumference. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the windows are tilted outwards, so you can kind of bend over and peer out and see below you.
Wow, what a mind-boggling thing. Jeez. All right.
Yeah. So I didn't shout out. I was like, oh, my God, because it happened real fast. But I did mm-hmm. notice something. Where was these kind of alien-looking symbols sort of overlaid over the streets. And I don't know how to describe this, but it's kind of like Google Maps a little bit.
But it was earmarked with ET identifiers or the names that they had for each street, perhaps. They, in other words, that's their roadmap, in a way, their identifier of what's down there. They would chart everything, I would think.
Yeah. Well, there was definitely something. It was kind of like looking through it slightly like a computer screen that had a little bit, you know, but it was mostly completely translucent.
Gotcha.
Even to the point where you don't see reflections. But there were these little designs. I noticed them because I found them fascinating. I'm like, well, what's that?
Yeah.
And no sooner did we... Oh, yeah. And then so the ship stops, and it rocked back and forth three or four times, very much like, oh, God.
The falling leaf?
It was like a boat in a harbor or...
Like a falling leaf? You've seen that story 100 times. Just go side to side
a
little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, I guess that would be a fair description. It was staying in place, but it was kind of rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. I felt like if I were to jump up and down, I could, you know, sort of make this ship wiggle a little bit.
Okay.
Which, you know, I was a little tempted to do. I didn't do it. But I'm like, wow, you can actually feel the movement here. It was really cool. And then, zoom, we were back up. I suspect they picked someone up. I don't know. Again, I didn't have the...
Right back out into space above the Earth. We'll say a couple hundred miles or whatever.
Yep.
So you're back up. Zoom.
And again, a little disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow... I mean, it was so fast. And so we're back in up in outer space. So I turn around, and I go back to that very tall gray. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but this is Dolly Safran. You know Dolly, right?
Yes, I remember Dolly very well.
You this is her ship. This is her contact. This is who she calls Mama. And... just an amazing entity. So I walk back up to her. She's still smiling at me.
This is a 7.5 footer for all of you if you're not following.
Yep.
This is a big one. Okay.
The very tall, very slender, very long arms, very long legs, very graceful, incredibly elegant, and really beautiful. I'm just...
Good word. Yeah.
You know, she's alien, but... Oh, my God, she is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking up at her, and she had something in her hand, and she's handing it to me. And I look down, and it's a tumbler, a tiny little glass tumbler. I'm going to say 10 ounces, a 10-ounce glass, 8-ounce glass, thick, transparent glass, and it was about one-third of the way filled with a green liquid, which is not quite neon, but this is something that's different. It's not glowing, but it's bright greenish.
Okay.
And I'm and she hands it to me and motions me to drink it. I'm like, really? And so I'm a sniffer. I'll sniff all my food before I eat it. And I didn't really smell anything. I swirled it around a little bit, and it was thick. Not quite as thick as pancake batter, but certainly not water. I mean, this was more along the lines of a milkshake, maybe? Slightly less, because it wasn't lumpy in any way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right. And I'm totally trusting, because I can just feel the goodwill.
Right.
And I take a sip. I'm like, wow, this is not quite sweet, but a little bit, and it tastes... very subtly of kiwi and lime would be the closest way I can put it. It was a unique taste, but it was kind of slightly fruity. Just very subtle, though. I'm like, wow, that's, you know, not bad. And she took it away from me. I'm like, wait. And she started to. And I kind of pulled back. I'm like, I'd like to take another sip. And she looked at me with a little bit of surprise and a little bit of amusement. Like, really? I'm like, yeah, if that's okay. I said, yeah, that's fine. And I took another sip, because I wanted to memorize the taste. And, you know, when this is happening, you realize, of course, this is real. I mean, you don't feel and smell and taste and in a dream in quite the same way.
Gotcha.
So, and I wanted to study the glass, and I wanted to study everything, because it had a thick rim. You know, this wasn't a thin glass. This is something mm-hmm. you could drop, and it probably wouldn't break.
Mm-hmm.
So I took another sip. I'm like, yep. I've got this now. And she took it back, and I blacked out. That was it. I'm gone, and I'm waking up in bed.
No kidding.
Yep. Don't remember coming back.
How interesting.
I was a little mad because, you know, well, not mad, but, you know.
Do you think that they did the, all right, do we draw the obvious conclusion here that the tumbler had some kind of a, what would you call it? A psychologically, mentally anesthetizing ingredient in it that was to put you out so they could return you to home? Was there something in there, or was it just coincidental that she offered that to you and it was the end of your trip and you went home?
No, I don't think it was coincidental. I think there's something to that. I can't say for sure. I did ask Dolly about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, was this nutritious, you know, what's this?
Right.
She's like, oh, well, you know, I actually did a whole chapter in one of my books, not from here, Alien Drinks, where people describe this exactly. I'm like, here it is happening to me. Dolly's like, well, actually, that is not nutritional as much as it is medicinal, because when you're out there in space, there's a lot of radiation, and they give you something to help counteract that.
Yes, of course. They don't want you to come down with cancer.
Yep.
I don't know.
Right. Which we do similar things. I mean, we will give people iodine to sort of counteract heavy doses of radiation.
Well, to protect their thyroid, at least. Right?
Right. So that was what Dolly told me, and that kind of made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember waking up immediately, and there was no, you know, like, this is a dream. I was, yes, I lost consciousness, but it felt like a split second. It really
when
did.
When you came to, you were in the same frame of mind or state of mind as you were on the craft, on the ship. In other words, it had just been a momentary blackout, so to speak. And you're right back to it.
And I got up and I wrote it down. I went straight to my little dream book there, my diary, which I keep next to my bed, and I wrote this thing down. Not that I needed to.
Understood. No, that's a good thing to do. That is phenomenal. When did this happen, Preston, approximately?
This was May 6th, my birthday, on 2021. You know, it could be 22. I'll have to look it up. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was 22. But either one or that, you know, 21 or 22.
Wow,
so cool.
We're just about out of time. I think we've got another minute. And go ahead and tag this with whatever you'd like to. That's been just wonderful, you sharing that. Any afterthoughts, any further visitation feelings or anything like that?
No, that was my last visit, my last sighting. That was kind of the cap off of, I felt like this was a gift to me because it was on my birthday, and it was something I'd have asked for, and it was something I expected at some point to happen because events were kind of leading up to it. I mean, I did have a gray in my bedroom at one point on my third-story condo, pretty sure. I didn't see it clearly, but there was something in there. I felt it walk over my bed. Thought it was a cat. I don't have a cat. It woke me up. So, I mean, there was a lot of events leading up to this, and I felt like this was sort of my gift from them for doing all the work I've done to, you know, share the knowledge of
I think
ET.
You've got it. Yeah, and they let you remember it consciously. All the other people up there, the humans, apparently didn't have that ability. They were somehow, I don't want to say drugged, but maybe they were put in a state of mind where they weren't fully conscious and able to freak out, all right? That would be better. you were able to remember and experience all of it. That is absolutely fascinating, what you just shared. Thank you on behalf of everyone out there who cares about these things. And I hope you get to go again. And if you can ever pick me up on the way, I'm here. Just come on down. I'd love to go. And I will not flip out. That would be a perfect thing. I'll talk to you. That'd be great. Anyway, that's really wonderful. I'm very glad for you. You got to experience that. You deserve it, Preston. That's terrific.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the fullest I've ever described to anyone. You know, that was pretty much the long version. I wish it were longer. You know, it was 5 minutes, I'm guessing, the whole experience, but absolutely awesome.
You have it, and they can't take that. No one can take that away from you. You've got it. It's in the bank. Okay, my friend, thank you. I'll talk to you soon, and I've sent you that little clip of that alleged ET deathbed interview, so you take a look at that. Let me know what you think. And we'll talk next time, Preston. Thank you again. That was terrific.
Sounds good. Always a pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay. Good night, my friend. All right. I hope you all enjoyed that. And if you don't know who Preston Dennett is, there aren't any better out there in terms of researching this phenomenon of us being not alone by any stretch of the imagination in the universe. They are here, and sometimes they interact with us, just like you heard. All right. Very good. Thanks for being here. Back with you tomorrow, Friday. Take good care. Talk soon.